are now listening to another episode on Queen in Me.
All right, guys, so we're going to dive right into it. I do want to welcome you guys back to another episode, and I just appreciate you guys just tuning in with me every week. I've actually had people asking, you know, when was my next one going to drop? I do record and have these ready for you guys on Friday. I'm running behind with just some additional things I got going on, but I'm definitely going to do my best to make sure they are up and running for you first thing on Friday's morning so you can enjoy it on your way to work. Hello. All right, guys. I know you see the title. It's really talking about, it's like my flashback Friday. Honestly, I want to kind of go back to my school days and just kind of talk about those things that I really dealt with or experienced that I may have not really even gotten over all the way. But I'm finding that these things shaped me to who I am. And hopefully me acknowledging my flaws, my vulnerability, the things that I'm ashamed of, it'll hope open up, you know, doors of freedom and healing. And that's definitely the goal. So I know, just like me, you guys who may have, you know, experienced some trauma growing up or just some type of weird or estranged, you know, growing up in your childhood. And I know a lot of times, like, we're ashamed to even, like, speak on a lot of stuff. And then some things are just kind of, I don't want to say they're embarrassing. I think that these things happen and God allows these things to happen to help us, to motivate us, and to push us to just be our best selves so that we don't have to struggle. We don't have to experience some of the things as we got older that we may have went through and we were younger. So I wanted to like talk about a few things today. So, you know, growing up, as you guys know, like my father was killed when I was almost 7. So my mom, you know, was left to raise her children alone, which she was very, very strong woman. Like she really, I mean, what we probably didn't even see, you know, the struggle. We didn't even realize that we were struggling and we were living, you know, paycheck to paycheck, or we were, you know, didn't have enough money to do this, that, and the other. We didn't even recognize it just because she was so positive. Like she went to work every single day. Like I don't ever remember her laying out of work ever. Like I don't ever remember that. And, you know, she just really provided for us as a mom, you know, as she should. And, you know, it was 5 of us. And I know it's not easy raising kids, and especially when they get older and then, you know, clothes sizes change, shoes, you have to buy multiple things at the same time because people are outgrowing one another. And I never really understood or really knew like how she managed to do that. Like, how did she even get herself to not allow those things to bother her? And again, like, I think that it could have, we just did not see it. She did a really good job of, you know, hiding it. If that's, you know, how she felt, we would have not known. So in our eyes, our mom is definitely the queen. She's was a wonderful support for us in anything that we wanted to do. And she just was a great provider. So, you know, us going through, you know, those things, like we did move a lot, like her having to do things for us by herself and not really having, you know, my dad or, you know, just, you know, a spouse who could assist her, you know, with raising her kids. We did see some type of, you know, we moved a lot. I'll say that we never talked about it as my siblings. And I can think about now, like we never really even realized probably that we were moving like almost every year, And, you know, we were just always excited. We found a place and we're like, oh, you know, this is my room. This is my room. You know how kids do. Like, you're like, oh, this is my room. This is my room. Oh, yeah, this is mine. I'm going to get this big room. You know, we were always excited about that part. So we never really paid attention that, you know, how often we were moving. Like, I don't even think that growing up, I didn't pay attention. Like, when I reflect, I definitely see we moved a lot. And I know it's not something that she wanted to happen, but you know, as a mom, what do you do? How do you prepare yourself? Okay, if this is not working out, if financially things are not going the way that it should, I'm working my job, or if things are not being prepared at this house, or, you know, our landlord is not taking care of this, then we have to go. And that's what my mom did. Like, she made those decisions that are hard sometimes. Nobody likes moving. I mean, to this day, I hate it with a passion. I hate moving. I really do. The packing, the unpacking, it's a lot. The cleaning, I hate it. It's just so much. So I can only imagine, like, how she felt, you know what I mean? Like, to get us to, you know, participate in helping to move and packing and staying organized to get from one place to the other. And I can only imagine, you know, my siblings, my mom, a lot of people say, like, I was like my mom's sister. My mom trusted me with a lot of the responsibilities when she had to work, or, you know, she trusted me to go in, you know, go to grocery shopping for our family. When she couldn't, she would have her list, and I would go in there and I'd get everything she needed for us and come back out, and we would go home. And, you know, I helped with, you know, she started teaching me to cook very young. You know, I cleaned, and then I still had my own schoolwork, my own, you know, I was in athletics and sports. And so I have all of those as well. You know, I looked after my sister. I checked over homework, helped her with checking over homework with my siblings. So, you know, a lot of people used to say, like, you know, is that your sister? Like, that's your older sister? And I'm like, no, that's my mom. That's my mom. But our relationship was like best friends when we were growing up. Honestly, I could probably count on one hand how many times I was disciplined because I knew better the first time. So, like, if I got disciplined for something I did wrong, like, trust me, I was not trying to get caught or not trying to do that again. And that's just how I was. Now, my brother and sisters, I mean, they would test the waters a couple of times before they really thought, okay, maybe I need to stop. Maybe I need to, let me step back, because I'm getting tired of being disciplined. So we were really, we were super close. We still are to this day. But we were definitely super close growing up. And I think she just was preparing me, teaching me a lot of motherly things, how to be a woman, how to take care of yourself, how to make sure that your family is well taken care of. And I definitely appreciate that. I definitely do. And I think it's probably why, you know, even now, you know, I'm so hard on my kids with their schoolwork. I'm super active. You know what I mean? Like, I'm super active in making sure that they see that I'm present, even though I have to work, even though that I got other things that are going on. I still want them to feel that I'm present and I'm there and I'm listening and I'm supporting and I'm loving. So I'm very, very present with them and the things that they do. So I definitely thank my mom for that. But honestly, growing up and moving so much, it does have a, you know, it did cause kind of a backlash, I guess I'll say, or a negative kind of upbringing for myself, only because it was so hard for me to make friends. I think I'm probably the only one who had the hardest time making friends. My brothers, like, oh my God, like, we could move to a school one day and a different one tomorrow. And they were like, they had best friends. They were so easy to talk to people. Like, one of my brothers was a jokester. So people just drew to him. They just loved him. He was a class clown. And, you know, back then that's just what they liked. And that's what people drew to. And he made going to school easy for him because that's something that he could do to make him feel cool or make him feel welcomed. Me, I was super quiet. I was a reader. I was a homebody. And the only thing that I did, you know, was I did play sports. But before I started doing that in school, you know, I was super quiet. So moving from place to place, it affected me so much because it was so hard. People would look at, you know, what you're wearing, or, you know, how you talk, how you walk, the color of your skin, you know, just different features of your body. And, you know, they just use that against you. And the first time that you show them that it bothers you is that it's like they have a one up, like they know that they can use that. And they can hang that over your head. For me, it was definitely something that they could hang over my head because the little things bothered me. Little things affected me. You know, especially when I was a type, I was so quiet. I just wanted to make friends. I just wanted to be friends with people. But they felt it was easier for them to just be, you know, just be cruel and just be, you know, rude. And I think that's why you know, with my daughter, with her experience with bullying, you know, it really affects me because I'm like, I definitely don't want her to experience what I went through. Like, it's not easy. That is not an easy thing. It's not easy for anybody. But as a mom who experienced it, and then you have a child who kind of went through it for a spell, it's like, how do I change? How do I make sure that she's more confident in me? Like, she's my splitting image, emotion, looks, everything. Like, we're just alike. And I definitely want her to build up her confidence a lot more now than what I had at her age, because it was so hard. It took me high school before I started being somewhat confident in how I looked and my body and my, you know, just anything. It took me so long to really accept me and love me. And I definitely don't want her to go through that. But moving, you know, it was hard. It was hard. Nobody, I mean, it's like, you know, what I learned, you know what I learned? Girls are mean. Oh my God. I mean, if you don't look like them, if you do not have the same swag or whatever, it's like, it was like a thing. It's like, oh, she can't be a part of us. Oh, you can't talk to her. Don't even speak to her because she's not us. It was horrible. I mean, it was horrible. School, growing up from school, if somebody asked me to this, like, it was the worst part of my life. I'm so thankful I even made it out of high school and middle school. I mean, I'm so grateful to even have made it, because there are kids, we're hearing stories now, like, kids are, like, killing themselves. Like, they're committing suicide, even in elementary school. I've never experienced that in my life, heard that in my life growing up. But now these kids are, things are so hard for them to accept. It's hard. And they are literally committing suicide because they can't take it. They cannot take the bullying. And I just hate to have, you know, to see that. I just hate to worry about my kids and, like, you know, definitely don't want them to get to a place where they feel like they can't talk to us. And they're just keeping all that bottled up inside and not sharing what's going on, so we can properly help them, so we can at least talk about it and allow them to express themselves, because communication goes a long way, a long way. So, you know, growing up, I mean, it was a lot. There's a lot of things that I can't even say. That's how, you know, extreme it was for me. But you know, one thing I always remember, you know, I know we always grow up, you know, how, if you're from the country, like, then you're familiar with, you know, you spend time at your granny's house. If mom is working or if mom is out doing whatever, like, you're with your granny, like, you're with your grandparents. And that's how we kind of grew up. Like, my grandmother, you know, we started going to church with her. She kept us active. She kept us busy. And my grandmother worked a full-time job. She was secretary of church. She was assistant pastor. Like, she had a lot of different things that she did, but she kept us active. Like, it was crazy. Like, you know, you wonder, like, how, what kind of energy pill, you know, was she on? Like, what were they taking? Because she had so much energy. And, you know what I mean? She just kept us going. Like, she made sure that we were well aware of, you know, what we could do, that she was, her and my grandfather were present in our lives. And, you know, she just really wanted to make sure that we didn't feel like we were lacking in any area. And so that's where that family comes. I mean, that goes a long way, man. You know, we grow up in the country. We grow up eating the buttermilk and cornbread. And back then, you know, you don't see anything, you know, I don't see anything wrong with it now, be honest, but you know, growing up, you know, this is like normal stuff. Like, this is normal stuff. And I think just having that support, like, from, you know, our family, anytime my mom needed to, if she was in between finding somewhere for us to stay, like, my grandmother's home was open to her, you know. And I know that's, you know, that's her child. You know, you're going to allow your children to come in when they're having hard times. That's what a parent does. But we spent a lot of time there. And it really just let us know, like, it reminded me that, you know, no matter how far we go, no matter what we deal with or what we're going through, you know, our father, our parents are always there. And that's just like God. It's just like our relationship with God, honestly. Like, no matter how far straight I may go, no matter how far off left I may go in my life, how many mistakes that are unspeakable, you know, God still has his arms open for me to come home. Like, hey, child, I've been waiting on you. You know, come on back. Come on back. And I'm just so thankful for that, because even in the place that I'm at right now, I feel like I'm kind of by myself mentally. And I just feel like I'm kind of, you know, just dealing with some things by myself. And I even took some time away from church. And it's been an experience, to say the least. And I don't know, you know, I don't even know how long I'll be in this place, but I'm definitely praying because I don't want to miss out on what the Lord has for me to do. I don't want to miss out on anything that He has planned for me, that He already had planned. He's just waiting for me to wake up and say, hey, I'm out here by myself and I know that He's been there for me all this time. And so I just, it's a hard situation. It's a hard thing. But I think at the end of the day, I know who I am. I know what I'm dealing with. I'm not dealing with alone. And even though my past, you know, my emotional, physical, just mental and abuse or hurt or pain that I grew up having in my life, it doesn't define who I am right now. And I have to let all that go. You know, I worry because, you know, I grew up moving around a lot and I worry like I won't be able to stabilize my family. My father passed when I was young and I worry like, Lord God, what if something happens to me? Well, what if something happens to my husband? Who's going to be here for my kids? Like it's a lot because of things that we grow up with. I think we don't think about a lot sometimes that, you know, things that we deal with when we're younger, if we don't allow ourselves to heal or let the younger person go and let them know that it's okay, what you dealt with is okay, and so that you can heal, then you take this person with you as you continue to grow. And I definitely don't want to be someone older in age who's still dealing with my 15-year-old self, my 14-year-old self that I've yet to forgive or yet to allow to heal the brokenness that she experienced. And so I'm challenging, you know, myself to start dealing with my childhood and start going back and talking about it and letting those things go so that I can move forward, so that I can heal 100% and move forward. My Flashback Friday actually went a different way because I honestly wanted to share like my upbringing, but it really does go full circle because a lot of my things that I see myself, even, you know, dealing with mental health and anxiety and worryation, a lot of things I'm still carrying from my past and have not yet let go all the way. So I'm going to start, you know, jotting some things down. And I really challenge you guys to do it too. If you're still in a place, if you're in a place where you feel alone, if you're in a place where you're not sure what your next move is, where you should go, who's really there for you, I'm challenging you to do as I'm going to do as well. Take some time to start writing down some of those memories, some of those past experiences, and start dealing with them one at a time. It's never too late. You don't want to wait 10 years from now. You're still carrying this young boy, carrying this young person into your future life and still not being able to be 100% happy, 100% sound, because you're still carrying that weight. We have to drop it all, give it all to the Lord. We have to let it go so that we can heal, so that we can be our full, amazing selves that we were created to be. So we can just walk in the fullness. And I just want to experience life and just this wholeness, honestly. I think a lot of people who say, you know, when you tell them that you're kind of dealing with mental health or you're, you know, dealing with anxiety or worry, you know, if people haven't been through it, they're not going to understand. They're not going to, you know, really, they can't relate. You know, the thing that I hear the most is like, oh, ain't nothing wrong with you. Oh, it's okay. You'll be all right. That's kind of the thing. It's like you get brushed off so much, but the situation is really far more serious than people want to admit. And I've learned to just not listen to these people, not allow them what they're saying to help me minimize my issues or minimize who I am or minimize what I'm dealing with. I know what it is, and I know that it's time to tackle it one at a time so that we can grow and we can be happy and we can move forward in life. And it's going to happen. We're in it together. So yeah, take a minute and write some things down. Whatever it is that you can remember, whatever it is that you're still carrying from past relationships, past hurt, family issues, self issues, because that's admit, sometimes we give a lot, we put a lot on ourselves that we have brought on ourselves. So it's time to forgive ourselves too. It's time to let it all go. And it's time for us to grow. Flashback Friday is definitely a moment for us to flashback in our past to see where we can do better from. Just find out where the issue started so we can heal and let it go so it doesn't carry over into our future and into our excellent life that we can definitely have. Guys, I do want to thank you again for tuning in to another episode. Again, my episodes are honest, they're raw, and they're definitely needed. In our Black culture, a lot of times we minimize things, conversations about mental health and the real issues that we're dealing with and real issues that people are facing, because we feel like if we admit to it, then something's wrong with us. It's time to stop listening to whatever that is that's keeping you bound in that place. These are real things. It doesn't make us any smaller. It doesn't make us crazy. It doesn't make us cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, whatever. We have to learn how to block out all the noise, deal with ourselves, deal with our issues so that we can move forward. Mental health, you're never in it by yourself. You're not in it alone. I'm here with you. There are a lot of people out there who are also dealing with the same things. We have to come together as a community, educate ourselves so we can grow and heal and get better. That's what it's all about. Queen and Me, women and men empowerment. We're going to take our lives back. Mental health will not have us bound, and we will have an amazing future. Thank you again so much for tuning in, for your support, and for your love and prayers. I wish you all well, and until next time, later.